On the field, winning comes from hard work, care, and preparation. I learned that that same hard work doesn't stop when we exit the arena. Your care is our commitment, and preparation is our promise. We tackle challenges head on and turn dreams into reality, which is why I'm excited to join the team at Alcova Mortgage, where we help you score the perfect home.
And welcome into the Who's On Podcast, part of the Saver Podcast Network, presented in part by Joe Reed and Alcova Mortgage. Score your perfect home today. All right, week three of the camp report here on the Who's On Podcast. I got a special guest today. It is UVA's QB1 going into his sixth year of fall camp. It's Chandler Morris. Chandler, how you doing? It's your day off. You enjoying it?
Yes, sir. It's been good. I appreciate you having me.
I always wonder, like, you know, You go so hard for a couple days in a row. Like, what do you do to unwind on that day off?
I usually try and get a nap in on the day off, and then probably a massage, just get the body feeling right, and then hang out at home and hang out with my dog. So that's pretty much what I do.
What kind of dog?
I've got two German Shepherds.
Dang! How long have you had those?
So I've got this one I've had, she's older. I've had her for probably 3 years, three or four. And then the other one I got when I moved up here. So I've had her since February.
How do you balance that? Because I mean, I remember, you know, fresh out of college, getting a dog and like having to balance, like, you know, going to work and everything. Like, how do you take care of two of them and, you know, the spare time you have?
Yeah, so, well, my girlfriend's up here, so she helps me out a ton with them. But I mean, anytime she's out of town, I mean, yeah, it gets a little difficult to try and manage both of them. But one of the youngest ones at training right now, so she's gone for a couple weeks, which was a good time to send her and get trained a little bit. So yeah,
what are their names?
I got Daisy and Royal.
Okay, nice. Any significance or just that's what?
No, I mean, I like the movie Great Gatsby, so that was the reason why I named Daisy for the first one, and then Royal, there was really no reason.
Yeah. All right, well, let's get into football. I like taking a quick pit stop at the dogs, but, you know, what has stood out to you the most? You're obviously here for the spring. You were here all summer for the most part. What has stood out the past couple of weeks about where this team is during fall camp?
Yeah, I think the difference, I guess, from spring to now is I think a lot of guys on this offense, I mean, I think we understand the playbook better, and including me too. I mean, spring, it was kind of, we got in here, we were trying to learn each other, learn about our coaches, and then kind of threw the playbook at us a little bit and see what we liked and what stuck. And now, I mean, this summer it was good. Kind of me and Kitch got to really sit down and talk through the playbook a little bit and my likes and dislikes on it and everything like that. And I think everyone around me on the offense has really picked it up well. And you can really see that. I mean, just turning on the film from spring and fall camp, just it looks like a different ball club. And that's good on our part. And I'm glad to see that.
Yeah, your offensive coordinator, Des Kitchings, was talking about kind of that process that you got to go through with him and Daniel Kalen, too. Just like, what do you like about the offense? What don't you like? What was that process like and kind of giving him that feedback? And I guess, what do you like?
Yeah, I mean, it was good. I mean, just sitting down with him, I sat down with him after spring ball, and we talked about it a little bit before I went home for May break for a couple weeks. And then all of summer we would meet pretty often, anytime he was in town, off the road and stuff. And just, I mean, it was just going through, there's some concepts that I'm not very comfortable with, or I don't, have the understanding of, or just not confident in, I guess. And then there's other things that I've played, I've ran my entire career, the 5 years I've played in college, and I've got a lot of snaps and reps of them. So, just kind of doing that stuff and everything like that. And he was good with me. I mean, very, very open-minded on it and wasn't just kind of like, no, this is how we're doing it. So I really appreciate that of him.
Is that just the advantage of having the experience that you do, that you kind of come in with, like, this is what I've been comfortable with over the years? Like, obviously you're coming from a pretty different offensive, skill wise or set wise, but are there enough similarities there, you think?
Yeah, no, I think it's definitely helped me over my career. Just all the snaps I've taken and all the reps I've gotten. And then yeah, I mean it's different. It's very different. I think we're more 11 personnel than I've been in before, which is good. I mean that really protects the passer. And so I'd say that's probably the biggest difference. I mean I don't expect to go out there and throw the ball 60 times a game this year, but if we got to, I mean I will. But I mean that was a norm for me, I guess last year, which I mean it's a lot of fun getting to sling the rock around. But I mean you got to have a run game, especially in this league. And so I think that those are probably the biggest differences.
I've heard from Terry Heffernan, the offensive line coach, that you're best friends with a lot of those offensive linemen, those big guys up front. What is that relationship building like with those guys?
Yeah, I mean it was. I mean, it was once I got here. I mean, we were good buds. I mean, just hanging out with them, building relationships with them, and connecting with them, hanging out off the field and everything like that. And just, I mean, it's been a lot of fun. We got a lot of good dudes in that O-line room, and they all mesh well, which is super fun to see out there at practice. They're all pulling for each other, trying to help each other out, and that's exactly what you want as a quarterback. I mean, you want all those guys on the same page, and obviously, you want them to like you too, so it's been good. I've really enjoyed them.
You got to grease the wheels a little bit, like, hey, if I don't get hit this game or I don't get touched this game, I'll take you out somewhere. Like, do you
Yeah,
do any of that?
I haven't yet. I guess that's a pretty good idea. I think I need to. I'm gonna bring that up to him tomorrow, I guess.
Yeah. You've gotten some time, obviously, with the receivers and everything around you too. Just who of the skill position players has really stood out to you now that you've got a good chunk of time with them?
Yeah, I think you look at Jamal Edgerrin. I think he's had a really good camp. He's just a bigger body, and just a big target for me. And then, I mean, he's picked up the offense really well. I mean, he was doing a lot of classes this summer, trying to get all his hours in, which is really impressive of him to be able to handle all that and balance all that. And then you got Trell Harris, obviously. I mean, he's had a great camp as well. I'm excited about him. He's going to be a threat vertically for us, and just getting him the ball in space is going to be huge. And then Cam Ross, I thought this has been a great camp for him, because I think spring, like all of us, I think we were all just kind of feel it out and get our figure out what we're doing and stuff. So he's taken a huge step this summer, and you can really see the work he's put in this summer and everything like that. I mean, he was at every throwing session, and so I mean it was great. And I think those are just to name a few, I think those are three guys that I've really been pleased with and excited about.
Yeah, I just did a story on Cam Ross. You can find that over at thesaber.com. But as Cam said, he really kind of bonded with you because y'all have played so much college football between the two of you. What is that like when you've got a guy that's like he's been through the ringer too?
Yeah, I mean, no, we're just a couple old guys in the locker room, and we know how it goes, and we have a good idea. I mean, we've done it. We've been through it many of times, and I mean, just kind of all our experiences and stuff. And maybe we weren't at the same place, but just being able to bond over that, I guess, just kind of the old heads in the locker room.
We talked about the offensive line earlier. Part of fall camp every year, and it doesn't really matter what team you're on or injuries during camp. And you lost Monroe Mills back in the spring, and you lose Mikalin Thomas, and you've had some other injuries on the defensive side of the ball too. Just how does that affect morale, I guess, when you see a big injury like that? Oh, this guy's going to be out for the season, or this guy's going to be out for a few weeks.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's our brother. I mean, it sucks. I mean, I hate that it's like that. And unfortunately, I mean, injuries are part of the game. And wish it didn't happen in practice. I wish it was in a game if anything was gonna happen. But I mean, no, just that you feel for those guys, and they're hard to it's hard to avoid. Injuries are, and I don't know why, and everything like that, but. It sucks for them, and I hate seeing it on those guys, especially all the work they put in this off season. So I mean it's yeah, I mean it does suck a little bit, but it's just part of it, and we understand that it's a next man up mentality. And Coach E has expressed it. I mean, you don't know when your number's going to get called. I mean, you're literally a play away, and it's real. So I mean, it definitely is unfortunate, and we hate to see it, but like I said, just you got to be ready.
You all had your first scrimmage last Saturday. I know you've had some reps against the first team defense throughout, but what stands out about going up against those guys in practice?
Yeah, I think the front has really improved, and they've gotten more comfortable. They had a lot of new guys, obviously, and got a lot of new guys this summer too. So the back end has gotten better. They had like I said, a ton of new faces come in at the secondary. They've gotten better over camp as time has gone, and they've gotten more reps in this system. And then I think defensively, I mean, their scheme wise, it can get confusing. I mean, it can confuse you as a quarterback. They throw a lot at you. And so, I mean, it can really disrupt your game, and they create turnovers. I mean, they do a good job of that. Just in the run game, in the pass game. I mean, that's what they're trying to do. And I think they do a good job of that. And Coach Rudd has done a fantastic job.
You talk about the scheme, but who's one guy that's giving you a lot of trouble on the other side of the ball right now?
Dan Rickard. He's came in, and I mean, he's a freak now. He's making plays.
Yeah. He's a little bit small on the smaller side, but you know, the pass rush, it seems like it plays up a level.
Yeah, no, he's doing really well, really good job.
Yeah. Looking kind of bigger picture and kind of your past and everything, you know, a lot of people have kind of talked about you and your dad and everything, but what is it like kind of being the son of a football coach before you were even kind of further on in your football journey, just kind of growing up with, I mean, your dad was at all these different high schools down in Texas, and then he go kind of steps up a level, just kind of moving with the motions, kind of where he's going in this, I guess, transient life a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, it was fun, especially at a young age. I mean, I was too young to kind of realize what's going on, and we're moving all these different places. I'm getting to see all these new spots. And I enjoyed that. It was a lot of fun. And I mean, whenever you get older, it gets a little more difficult moving. So I think whenever we got to Dallas, and then my dad went to, I got there, I guess, eighth grade, and then my dad went to Arkansas. I got to stay at Dallas. My mom and I stayed in Dallas just because, I mean, it was difficult. I worked really hard for the starting job there at Highland Park. And so that was a little difficult, him not being home as much. But, I mean, it was a lot of fun, just the experience going out there to his practices, going and hanging out with his players, and being around in the locker room was a lot of fun. And I think just being out there, I learned a lot, and I don't even realize it at the time.
Yeah. When's the first time you opened up a playbook?
First time I remember me drawing a play up for him for he was coaching high school. I drew a play up. They had like a 7-on-7 tournament. It was like the state tournament in Texas. And I probably had 15 people on the field drawing the play. So, I mean, I opened up playbook pretty young. I'm sure just kind of buzzing through all his stuff. And then, me and Tyler Venables in Clemson, when we were out there at a recess and stuff, I mean, we'd have our own playbook and everything like that. So, I mean, we were pretty young opening that playbook.
Were you just like, just kind of flipping through it? Didn't really fully understand it. Were you asking him a lot of questions about it? Like what was that learning process like?
Yeah, no, I had no clue. I was just flipping through it. I didn't ask too many questions. I was just trying to look for the go balls. That's all I was looking for.
Yeah. Were you big into, like, I guess, like, the way I learned playbooks growing up was, like, you know, the college football video game or Madden or something like that. Did you play any of that when you were younger?
I did, yeah. I played a little bit of it. I've never been huge into video games, but, I mean, if I go to a friend's house, we'd for sure play that and everything like that.
Because I think everyone, when they're younger, the go balls is what reminded me of that. It's like everyone just picks the Hail Mary pass, and you just keep throwing it down the field, or four verts or whatever. Just trying to throw 60-yard touchdowns down the field. You've talked about kind of the Texas roots for you. Obviously, he's, you know, coached in the state for a long time. You got to play high school in the state. It seems like I've never been to Texas. I'm going to admit that right now, but it seems like it's just different there when it comes to high school football.
Yeah, no, it's a different beast. I mean, we at Highland Park, that's a really top program in the state. It's the winningest program in that state. And so I mean, yeah, we'd be out there every Friday. I mean, it was 12, 15,000 in our stadium. We'd pack it out. And I mean, at the time, I mean, we'd have more fans at our games than the SMU games right across the street. And that was something we were pretty proud of. And I don't know if it's still like that today. I haven't been to an SMU game in a while, but it's that Texas football, I mean, you've got it's great competition everywhere, especially the DFW area. I mean, there's a lot of good talent coming out of there, and it's just everyone in the towns. I mean, it's truly they close down the town to go the games those Friday nights. It's a lot of fun.
You said, told me before, but how old were you during those days at Clemson?
I got there in third grade and left in seventh grade.
So, I mean, what's that like? You're young, like you said, you don't know what the playbook means and everything, but you're kind of around this program that really that was kind of the start of it. Those years that you were there, just kind of they're building up. And I know they win the national championship a little bit after your dad left, but what's it like kind of being around that program at a young age?
It was a lot of fun. I mean, I just remember being around Taj Boyd. Him and I staying in touch to this day. We talk often, and then you got dudes like Sammy Watkins, DeAndre Hopkins, and I mean many others that were a lot of fun to watch and be around. And they were great people. I mean, that was one thing. I mean, I was always up there. I'm sure I was annoying the hell out of them. I was a young kid. I'm sure I was over there messing with them or doing something to annoy them, but they were always awesome to me and would always drop what they were doing for me, and it was a lot of fun to be around.
What was Tony Elliott, now Coach Elliott, but like back in those days?
You know, I mean, he was great to me. I don't really remember too much how he was. I just remember he'd always call me Chan Man, and he does to this day. So I mean, he was I always enjoyed him when I'd walk up there. He'd always make sure he was saying hello to me, and anytime I'd walk by his office, he'd make sure I'd come by and say what's up, and just stuff like that. I mean, I don't remember too much in depth, but I do remember those things.
Did he get on the phone with you like when you're in the portal and say, "What's up, Chan Man?" Like, is
Yeah,
that
he did. It sparked a memory. I kind of forgot that's what he. But I remembered it once he said that. But yeah, he did.
what did your dad and him talk a lot during the recruitment, or was it just kind of you and him? Like, how did that all kind of play out?
Yeah, I mean, early on, I think they talked a little bit, and he was kind of asking my dad if I had any interest and stuff like that, and then after that, I mean, it kind of just was me and him just talking, and my dad kind of stayed out of it and chimed in if Coach E needed him, but I mean, yeah, it was just mainly me and Coach E.
What were those conversations like? I mean, obviously you say you remember him, but you don't remember a ton with him back from Clemson, but it had to feel familiar a little bit.
Yeah, no, it did. And I think too, I mean, my dad just talking to him about him and stuff, and just the respect my dad has for him. So I mean, that was if my dad respected him, obviously I did too. And just I remembered a little bit of Coach E, and I know I remembered what great of a person he was and everything like that. So I mean, it was a lot of fun to kind of get back in touch with him.
I had a friend yesterday that was down at Texas State talking to GJ down there, and your name came up, I guess, and she was telling me about it. But your dad taking the year off from football, I assume that he's relaxing a little bit.
He is. Yeah, he is. He's going to be up here. Him and my mom they'll be at every game this year.
Yeah. How did those conversations go now? Do y'all talk much about football? Do y'all keep it, personal, like how do those conversations go these days?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's missing football a little bit right now, so he's wanting to talk a lot of football right now. And I mean, he does a great job. We don't really talk too much about it unless I bring it up. But he's done a great job of balancing dad and coach. So I think that's been a good thing. And I mean, as of lately, he's been wanting to talk a lot of ball. I just think it's just because he misses it. So I can't blame him.
camp's going and he's like, I'm not there. You got that itch again. Like, does he golf? Like, what does he do in the free time?
He's been golfing a little more recently. I've really pushed him to get into it, so that's it's been a good thing for him. And they live out on a ranch in Texas, so he's got 7 horses and plenty of heads of cattle to deal with. So he's staying busy.
There you go. There's a hobby right there. Your journey, we've talked about it in length, so I don't want to get too far into it, but obviously you start off at Oklahoma, we're there for 1 year, then you go to TCU for a couple years. And I mean, everyone I think asks you about that year that you win the starting quarterback job. I think that was 2022. And then you get hurt and Max Duggan comes in and he's a Heisman Trophy finalist. They go to the national championship. What did you learn the most that season? Just kind of with how everything played out.
Yeah, I mean that was a big year for me as a person too and a player. I mean, I kind of view it as I wasn't ready. I think that was kind of God's sign and telling me that I wasn't ready yet. And so I mean, going out there and I worked extremely hard to win that job, and then getting hurt the first game and seeing Max go do what he did. But I think it was just his time too, and he had had a pretty rough career. He'd been battling through a lot of things in his career and had a lot of success. And I think I learned to just not take a day for granted. I think, and I also too think that I had my identity into football, and I think it got snatched away from me. And I think that was a big step I took in my life, and really realized that my identity was into football, and that's not what it needs to be in. Now I'm going to work hard at it every single day, and I really enjoy playing football, but I think there's other things, and getting like my faith and everything like that, and then my family too and stuff. So just those just some I think it was a definitely a grounding year for me, and I looking back on it, I wouldn't change a thing. I'm so appreciative of that season.
How do you make that step from, everything's just been so focused on football your whole life? Obviously, you grow up in it, you're in Texas, like it's hard to avoid it there. And to kind of have that realization moment, how do you take that step out of that?
Yeah, I mean, it was during the time it was hard, but honestly, I couldn't stand the game for a while. I mean, I had gotten injured, and the game wasn't loving me back. So I mean, it's hard to love something if it's not loving you back. And I really the next year, I mean, after the national championship year was I had the same injury. I came back, I got healthy, and they didn't play me, and I couldn't figure out why we weren't winning, and and it was hard to kind of realize, okay, they've moved on from me. And so it was that was very difficult for me. And again, I mean, the game wasn't loving me back, and that was 2 years in a row of it. So it was difficult, but I mean, at the same time, it kind of just it happened very quickly. And during those times, I mean, I was just leaning on my family and my faith during it, and they helped me out a ton. And so I mean it was a tough though, but I mean I found that love again for the game last year. I mean, I got back to got to go play for Coach Morris at UNT, and man, I had a blast playing for him and everything like that. And I was in tears in his office when I was telling him that I was going to leave him, and but he was so he was encouraging me to do so. And so I mean I told him how much I appreciated him and just him bringing the love back that I have in football. So yeah.
What when you find that love again and you're kind of, do you feel reinvigorated kind of heading into this opportunity now at Virginia?
Yeah, no, I do. It's I'm extremely excited. I mean, just I don't take a day for granted. I know how quickly it can get taken from me. And then just not getting too high and not getting too low. I think that's something I've really learned, and just staying level-headed, especially at this position, you have to.
Yeah. I had to check multiple places because I didn't fully believe you when you said it to the media, back in the spring. But when you said, I didn't come from Texas to go win 6 games, I came here to, compete for an ACC championship. When you said that to the team, so I've checked with multiple sources now, they've all confirmed it. What about that moment? Like, we can talk about that moment or just the confidence that you have, not only in this program, but just that, this is what you're here to do.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just kind of everything I've been through, and just the work that I've put in my career, and everything like that. I just have the confidence in myself, and then also too, I mean, just pouring confidence into the people around me. I think that's extremely important. And just coming in and telling everyone that's my goal. That's what I'm here to do. And I've been on a team that went 5-7 one year, and then the very next year we went to the national championship. And in this day and age, I mean, in this day in college football, I mean, it's doable, and everything like that. So I mean, it's just making sure, I think, if the whole building knows exactly what the goal is and what we're here to do, then I think everyone goes and gets on the same page, and you've got a real shot at it.
Did you get some eyebrows raised when you said
No, I don't think so. I mean,
that?
I would have called them out if I did, but
I guess kind of you found your leadership role on this team. I think before you said in the spring that you like to wade in, kind of see, get a feel for the team, get a feel for people first, and then before you kind of really take the reins. I assume that you've kind of moved on to like kind of taking this leadership role in the reins, and that was one of the big reasons that Tony Elliott just kind of went ahead and named you the starting quarterback. What has that kind of change been like since he named you the quarterback, or has it just kind of felt like a seamless transition?
I'd say just a seamless transition. I mean, just coming up here, and I wanted to, obviously I knew I wanted to be the starter, and that's what I was going to act like. I was a starter every single day, whether or not he had named me the starter yet. But yeah, I mean, I think like you said, I mean, yeah, I was kind of waiting my turn to really learn everyone and build relationships with everyone before I kind of jump in here and try and be the leader that everyone wants me to be. And but I think I handled that well, and I think I've got a lot of respect for my teammates.
Right, you said it. You're here to compete for championships. So make the case. Why is this Virginia team capable of doing that?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've got all the pieces that we need, and we've done a great job in the portal. We're meshing really well this camp. Everyone's really picking up the system well, and I think it's just going to come down to execution and executing situational football also.
I asked around just for some off the field stuff. Everyone says you're a good hang and everything, that you're a family guy and all that stuff, but I wanted to go a little bit further. So I pushed some guys, and they came back with this. You love golf. What about the game of golf?
I think it's just the competition of it. I mean, I think it's so fun that you can go out there one day and shoot the best you've ever shot, and then the next day, if you go out there and play again, you could shoot the worst you've ever shot. And I think it's very humbling, and just something that you got to constantly work at to get good at. And I like going out there with my friends too, and playing and competing a little bit. So it's just, I don't know, it's just relaxing for me.
Have you gotten out there in Charlottesville?
I've played at Birdwood,
No.
Old Trail, and then Farmington.
All right, those are the classics right there, and they're close by. So, how'd you
Yes.
shoot?
Best I've shot at Birdwood was 79, and then Farmington, I think it was probably like an 83, 82. Old Trail, I've only played there twice. I don't remember. There was one time I only played 9 holes.
Yeah. You got some good golfers there at the university, so I mean, you might be able to pick up some tips. This one of your offensive linemen kind of ratted you out. They say you got a bit of a sweet tooth. You're constantly going back up there for extra dessert. Can you confirm or deny?
I'm gonna deny that. I don't. That's probably Noah Josie who said that. He's always living by the dessert bar.
Do you have a preference though, if there is a dessert up there?
I mean, I like ice cream, I guess. I'm not
Yeah.
a huge dessert guy. That's kind of, maybe I am. I don't know.
I guess maybe you went up there one extra time one day and that's all someone saw.
Right.
What else is it off the field? 'Cause I mean, you obviously got so much football. I know you're big on family, you're big on hanging out with guys, but what else outside of football?
I really enjoy hunting. I mean, growing up in Texas, I mean, there was a lot of spots to do it. So, and my parents living on some acres and going out there, hunting kind of after a walkthrough on a Thursday, because they live about an hour and a half from me and stuff. So, I really enjoy that. It's extremely relaxing to me. I mean, I don't even go out there to shoot anything. I just like sitting in a deer blind and kind of watching and stuff. So I enjoy doing that. And I mean, yeah, I'm pretty simple. I like to golf, hunt, and hang out with the boys, I guess.
It sounds like a Texas boy.
Yeah.
That seems like what everyone out of Texas does. I guess just what are you're finishing up camp soon here in the next couple days. So, just are you ready for August 30th? Like, let's get going.
Yeah, no, I am. I'm ready to I think we're at a great spot in camp. Obviously, we got to go finish it out and keep being consistent every day. But yeah, I'm fired up to get that first one in Scott Stadium and just get into a routine and get rolling.
Who's the life of the party in the locker room?
Life of the party, I'd probably say probably Noah Josie. No Joe or Monroe Mills. Probably one of those two.
I think back, I asked Monroe about you in the spring, and he was just kind of went into that soliloquy about, how you love them Texas boys and stuff like that. But yeah, how is he doing? Just kind of, obviously he's out for this year, but just kind of, it seems like he's still really connected with everyone.
Yeah, no, he's doing a great job. I mean, he'll have the he's actually he lives like right next door to me, so he'll have the O-line over there all the time, and he's doing a good job coaching up those young guys also, and he brings a lot of experience. Even though we can't have him on the field this year, I mean he's gonna try and help us out in any way he can.
Yeah. All right, Chandler, I'm going to let you go there. Thank you so much for coming on the Who's On podcast. Good luck with the rest of camp. And that'll do it for us today. Subscribe and like on YouTube, on Apple, Spotify, wherever you find us. We've got our new YouTube channel over at the Who's On podcast. Please leave a 5-star review on Apple as well. We'll see you next time here on the Who's On podcast.
Field, winning comes from hard work, care, and preparation. I learned that that same hard work doesn't stop when we exit the arena. Your care is our commitment, and preparation is our promise. We tackle challenges head on and turn dreams into reality, which is why I'm excited to join the team at Alcova Mortgage, where we help you score the perfect home.